Chapter 11. Yao. Yao was eating dinner at his friend Edward Brohan's house for the sixth night that week. He was there so often, Edward's wife complained that she was married to two men. "You need a wife, Mr. Ajikum," she said. "Why do I need a wife when I have you?" asked Yao. "Ha," said Edward. "Be careful now." Edward was the math teacher at the school where Yao taught history. They had been friends since they had both been students themselves. "Mr. Ajikum, I know a nice girl," said Edward's wife. "She's still able to have children, so you don't have to worry about that." "I should go home now," said Yao quickly. He knew that he was being rude, but he did not want to listen to her talking about finding him a wife. He said goodbye to them and began his walk home. On his way home, he walked past a group of boys playing soccer. He stood and watched them for a moment, and soon the ball came flying toward him. He caught it, and one of the boys came running over to collect it from him. The boy walked up, smiling at first, but as he got closer, his smile disappeared and was replaced with a look of fear. "Do you want your ball?" asked Yao. The boy nodded, but he did not say anything. Yao gave him the ball, and as the boy ran back to his friends, he heard him say, "What's wrong with that man's face?" Before they could answer, Yao was already walking away. "Who knows how I got my scar?" Yao asked his class one day. He was trying to teach them about the idea of history as a way of telling stories. The students all looked away awkwardly. "Don't be shy," said Yao with a smile. "Tell me what you've heard." A boy called Peter put his hand up. "They say you were born in fire, and that's why you're so smart." "Anyone else?" asked Yao. Another boy called Edom put his hand up. "I heard that your mother was fighting evil spirits from the spirit world." Then William shouted out, "I heard that your father was so upset because the Ashanti people lost the war that he cursed the gods and the gods took their revenge on you." And finally, a boy called Thomas said, "I heard you did it to yourself so that you would have something to talk about on the first day of class." The boys all laughed, and Yao smiled too. "Interesting stories," said Yao. "But whose story is correct?" After a few seconds of silence, Peter raised his hand. "We can't know which story is correct, because we weren't there." Yao nodded. "This is the problem of history. We can't know the truth, because we weren't there to see and hear and experience it for ourselves. We have to rely on what others tell us. So, whose story do we believe then?" The boys were silent. Yao gave the boys some time to answer, but when no one did, he continued. "Open your books to page." "Mr. Ajikum," said one of the boys, "you haven't told us how you really got your scar." Yao smiled sadly as he stared at the boys. "I was only a baby. All I know is what others have told me." Yao had been told that his mother, Crazy Woman, set their straw hut on fire while he and his sisters had been sleeping. He had been told that his father, Asemwa, had only been able to save him, so his sisters had died in the fire. He had been told that his father begged everyone not to kill his mother, and they agreed to it, but only after throwing them out of their village. But the people felt sorry for him, so they saved up money for him to go to school so he could get away from Crazy Woman. Asemwa died while Yao was at school, but Crazy Woman was still alive. When he was at school, his mother would write him letters begging him to come and visit her, but he never answered, so she eventually stopped writing. Yao did not care. While he was at school, Edward's family treated him like he was their own child, and that was enough for him. Yao was nearly 50 years old, and he did not have a wife. He had liked women before, but they never seemed to like him back. Once, Edward tried to help him get a girlfriend. Yao likes you, Edward told the girl. One day, he'll ask you to marry him. The girl looked disgusted. If I marry him, my children will be ugly. Edward tried to explain to the girl that you could not inherit a scar, but she would not listen. And that was how Yao's love life seemed to go. Although he was a nice man and was very smart, women did not like him because of his scar. Edward had always been nice to him, but Yao was starting to worry that he was annoying him and his wife. Edward's wife was pregnant with their fifth child, and they did not have time to feed and look after Yao every night. And so, Yao got a house girl named Esther to cook for him. She was not beautiful, and she could not speak English very well, although she tried. Do you understand Twi? Asked Yao. Twi was the language of his people. Esther nodded. Then speak to me in Twi, said Yao. We hear enough English every day anyway. After he said that, Esther was no longer shy. At first, Yao had thought that she was scared of his scar like everyone else, but he quickly realized she was only scared of speaking in English to him. Once she could speak to him in Twi, she could relax. Esther liked to talk and ask questions. Sir, I've finished cleaning the bedroom. You have a lot of books in there. Did you know? Do you read all of those books? Can you read English? Sir, where do you keep the oil? I couldn't find it in the kitchen. It's a nice kitchen. What will you have for dinner? Should I go to the market? What are you writing? Yao wondered if Esther ever stopped to breathe. Make whatever you want for dinner. I don't care. Esther nodded. I'll go to the market then. Would you like to come with me? What? Asked Yao, confused. Why should I go to the market with you? Don't you work for me? Esther shrugged and smiled. I thought you might want a break from your work, that's all. Teachers like you are very smart because you use your brain all the time, but sometimes you forget to use your body. Yao smiled back at her and agreed to walk to the market with her. Esther asked him questions about his life and about his mother and his scar, and Yao was surprised to find that he answered her questions honestly. You're very angry, Esther said, when Yao finished telling her how his mother had given him his famous scar. Yes, said Yao, and it was true. Anger doesn't suit you, said Esther. After that, Yao and Esther became friends, and eventually he realized that he was in love with her. She made him want to cry. He was old, and she was young. He was educated, and she was not. He was scarred, and she was whole. There were too many differences between them. And so, he decided not to tell her that he loved her. Would you like to go to my hometown with me? Asked Yao one day, to visit my mother? Esther looked surprised. You want me to go with you? Just in case I need someone to cook for me on the journey, said Yao quickly, trying to hide his true feelings. Esther nodded, and for the first time since he had met her, she did not ask any questions. It took a while for them to reach Yao's hometown, Ejiso. When they arrived, everyone stared at them. What are they looking at? Asked Esther. Yao knew that she was worried people would judge her for traveling with an unmarried man. A little boy ran up to them and pointed at Yao. Look at his face! Look! Stop being rude, said the boy's father. He looked at where the boy was pointing and stared in surprise. Yao? Yes, said Yao. Sorry, but I don't remember you. My name is Kofi Poku, said the man. I was about 10 when you left. Are you here to see Crazy Woman? Sorry. Kofi Poku looked embarrassed. I mean, Ma Akuya. Yes, I'm here to see my mother, said Yao. It's too late to visit her now, said Kofi Poku. You and your wife should come and stay with us for the night, then you can see her tomorrow. Yao wanted to tell him that Esther was not his wife, but Kofi Poku had continued talking. Please, I insist. When they arrived at Kofi Poku's house, his children stared and whispered about Yao. That's Crazy Woman's son, whispered the youngest girl. Enough, shouted Esther. How can you all be so rude? Hasn't he suffered enough? Kofi, Poku, and his wife apologized for their children, and they sat down to eat their meal. Thank you, whispered Yao to Esther. Esther shrugged. Let them think that I'm the crazy one. The next morning, Yao and Esther walked around Ejiso together. Everyone thought they were married, and neither Yao nor Esther corrected them. After they had walked around the village, it was time to visit Yao's mother. Yao was nervous, but with Esther by his side, he felt a little braver. He knocked on the door, and an old woman opened it. When she saw Yao, she started to cheer. Old lady, God has brought your son home, she called. Old lady, God has brought your son home. Yao and Esther followed the old woman into the house and into the living room where his mother sat in the corner. So, you have finally returned home, she said, smiling. Yao was surprised. His mother was 76 years old, but she looked much younger. She stood up and walked to him easily and pressed her soft hands into his own. My son has come home at last. The dreams, they don't fail to come true. They never fail. His mother put her hand on his scar and slowly ran her fingers along the skin. Once she was finished, Yao began to cry. She pulled him into a warm hug and cried with him. Please, said Yao, tell me the story of how I got my scar. His mother took a deep breath and told him everything. She told him about her childhood growing up with the Christian missionaries. She told him about his father, Asemwa, and his grandmother, Nana Sewa, and she told him about her nightmares. The missionary killed my mother, said Akuia quietly. He told me he burned her and all her belongings, but he lied. He kept one thing. She showed him Afia's blackstone necklace. Did you know that our family line is cursed? This necklace belonged to the firewoman in my dreams. She was trying to show me where I came from. She was trying to warn me about the evil in our family. She looked up at Yao. I'm sorry you have suffered. But Yao, you can still be free. That's the only way this curse on our family will be lifted. You have to let yourself be free.